And I'm Marcia Maycumber, your host for another hour and 20 minutes, per se. And we have our next guest to turn to. Susan Kirsch is back, CEO and founder of Catalysts for Local Control. You can find them at catalystsca.org. Susan, welcome back to The Morning Show. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Nice to be back on The Morning Show.
Always good to have you here. So, thanks. So the legislature is currently in recess, I believe. Is that right?
They're coming back today.
Today?
No, oh, there you go. Recess is over. They are back today.
All right. So,
yes.
That probably means like the gavel is going to be throttled, whatever you call it, in like 20 minutes, you know, or something like that. So,
yes. Yeah. They'll be back in session. This is their last, you know, couple of weeks to work on getting all of the bills out of committee, approved on the assembly floor or the Senate floor, depending on where they started, and then they'll be off to the governor's desk. So it's kind of the last flurry of activity. Many of the bills are now in the appropriations committees, where the committees get to decide on whether there's money, appropriations to support the projects, the legislation that's being proposed. So it's a big deal, big, big, busy time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of juggling being done for everybody to try to get their pet projects through and funded and the whole nine yards. Yeah. So what are the ones that are on your radar right now?
The biggest one that me and colleagues around the state are focusing on is Senate Bill 79. It's a bill, as most of the bills that we end up coming out strongly in opposition to, it's by Senator Scott Wiener, senator from San Francisco. You know, and just to say, so the bill, I'll start out just giving you the title of the bill, calling it a euphemism, then I'll tell you what the bill is really all about. The bill in its printed form is called Abundant and Affordable Homes Near Transit Act. So, abundant, we like that. Affordable, we like that. Near transit, that's good too. But if you were to dig just a little deeper, the more accurate title for this bill would be The Rapid Decline of Affordable Housing Near Rapid Transit and the Rapid Transfer of Wealth from the Middle Class to the Billionaires Act. It is so superficially written in terms of saying that there will be affordable housing, you know, abundant and affordable housing, because while this is a bill that will enable builders and investors to build with no input, no say-so from communities about whether they need or want these bills, it gives them permission to build abundantly and to build very, very tall in any neighborhood. It wipes out what communities have spent years and years of developing, you know, as the housing element that's part of their general plan. And whereas cities have been very, very mindful about how to accommodate a wide range of living styles, you know, single family homes, apartments, starter apartments, condos, senior living. This bill eliminates any of those provisions. And here's what they've done. They have drawn a circle around the radius, so a circle around any place which is a transit stop. Mm-hmm. So it could be a bus stop, which has a regular, like at least a 15-minute cycle. It at least requires that. I mean, once or twice a day. Mm-hmm. But it also includes with the bus stops that it can be either a current or a planned bus stop. So this isn't even restricted to what currently exists. And then it can be ferry or train stations as well. But within this concept, they then have tiers, and the tiers get complicated by how far away they are from the actual transit stop and how dense it can be built. But mostly it says that if you're within, say, the half-mile radius, right into half a mile from the bus stop, in any direction, we're thinking of a circle now, not a corridor, significant change in how people are thinking from corridors, commercial corridors, to now this being a circle. If you're within that half mile, a developer by right, which means no input, no say-so, no control over it from the local community, by right can build up to a 6 or 7 story building right next door to any single family home.
Wow.
So this law would enable any of our communities to be built out to a density that's at the rate of Manhattan in New York.
Wow.
It gives no consideration for how current housing elements have looked to take into account, you know, the environmental impact, which we know that's kind of been scuttled by
right.
Scott Winter's leadership. It pays no attention to safety requirements like fire or evacuation routes. And it also is living in this mythical world as if no one will have a car, so there's no need for parking. Even though most often the people who most need parking are our service workers, who are the ones who most need housing that is affordable, because they're the ones that are driving to our communities to provide senior care, child care, gardening care,
right.
home care, all of the care things that they provide on a wage-based economy, you know, living, bumping up against this world that our democratic, mostly democratic legislators are creating, which is a wealth-based economy. And it is just shameful to think of what is happening through this Democratic Congress, still believing things that have been proven to be at least challengeable and from the data that we've collected, not true. So saying even that there is a housing crisis, which people translate in their minds to say this is a crisis that can be solved based on supply and demand. But most competent researchers are saying that is not the case, because as you build vertically, you are increasing the value. And increasing the value means that rents or mortgages go up.
Yeah, yeah. Huge challenges out there. And I know, I think I saw a link on your website, which if folks were curious, catalystsca.org, to a story about what was going through my mind in all this is, you know, for instance, right in Scott Wiener's backyard, I was thinking of the Lombard Street corridor in San Francisco, which, as we all know, is primarily 2, maybe 3 stories. Yes. It's a bus transit corridor. If any property is snatched up by a developer, somewhere along there, you know, it will completely change the skyline. You know, and it's not like we're saying, you know, NIMBY can't have any of this kind of stuff. They do actually have plans that exist with housing elements and housing plans in all the cities across the state for, you know, where the growth should take place, by how much it's built into the zoning and yes. has been developed over decades for what it should be. So this is throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
You're exactly right. Cities have spent thousands of hours and millions of dollars to develop these housing elements based on, you know, the regional housing need allocation, the RENA numbers that many, many people were going, you know, multiple times higher than they'd ever been before. People call them, you know, unattainable, unrealistic, unreliable, but they've been barreling forward with those numbers just the same, and that we're living just in this kind of mythical way. And people are fond of saying, oh, it's so complicated, we don't know what to do. But I've been thinking lately, you know, when I was a kid, I loved playing Monopoly. I mean, maybe you did too.
Sure.
And so we gained such valuable lessons in playing Monopoly, in understanding what's going on right now. Because whether you were buying property Baltic Avenue or Park Place, if you could then own the property, build, get one house, then two houses, up to four houses. Then you could, and rent, collect rent on each one of them proportionate to Baltic or Park. Then you could wipe all those out and put up a hotel and increase rent even more.
Right.
And so I think it's a really good model of the principles of capitalism and the principles of monopolies. And more than ever, both like just, you know, regional and state and national, global housing monopolies being run through banks and investor clubs and all of that are just creating a circumstance where those housing elements that people spend so much time and money on will not be relevant if Senate Bill 79 passes. It will go, it'll be as if decision-making is becoming the global ownership. I mean, not global is too big, but it'll be the investor ownership, which is calling the shots about what happens in our communities, increasing risks of fire danger, evacuation routes, safety. There's hardly ever any provisions for what do we do about the water supply, having just, you know, what, 3 or 4 years ago come out of a severe drought.
Yep.
Where's the money going to come from for the sewer lines and handling that? There's so little really systematic, comprehensive planning going on. And instead, we're in this great mythic story of build it and they will come, except the research is showing there's no they there. The community's housing needs are being fulfilled. Who is it? I've got, several researchers, Patrick Condon, you know, and others just who are bringing out the data that say, supply-wise, we have enough supply. And the issue that we're dealing with is economics. It's a huge economic issue as our two worlds, the haves and the have-nots, are being split more and more dramatically. And Senate Bill 79 is a big push to increase how dramatic that change keeps coming onto cities, onto individuals.
Yeah. Is there an anticipation for when 79 might be voted upon?
It's going to be in the Appropriations Committee on Wednesday, and then, so there's hardly any chance it will not get out of the Appropriations Committee because Assemblywoman Buffy Wicks is the chair of that committee, and she, too, has never seen a housing bill that she didn't want to support. So she and Scott Weiner are colleagues in this mission to build, baby, build. So I'm sure it will get passed in the appropriations. So as people are organizing now, it's to be able to hopefully defeat the bill when it comes up for the assembly in the assembly, and then it'll have to go back to the Senate.
Right.
Because the assembly has made amendments that the Senate then will get final bill on it. So to that end, just to mention a couple of things. One is that Catalyst is a part with many, many other groups of organizing statewide opposition. So next Saturday, August 23rd, in Marin, we're closest to you, listeners here, we'll be at the Larkspur Landing ferry area. And rally protests are also going on in San Francisco and San Diego and Los Angeles. So there's a move to try to get people aware of this because our legislators have not done a great job of creating awareness of that.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll tonight on tonight's Catalyst call, we'll have people talking about that.
Okay.
And just to call out a couple of things, thank you for mentioning a couple of times the website. And I want to call out that if people want more information about like these numbers that I'm saying are not true, you know, 2 weeks, a week ago tonight, we had the researcher, a financial risk analyzer, now retired, who made a presentation about how unreliable these numbers are about the supply. And a previous week, a few weeks before that, we had a woman, Kathy Indermill, who did a presentation on how to do messaging for the masses based on the research of David Fields, and just giving some really simple slides to understand how what we're talking about is the economic issue and this drastic slide between, you know, the billionaire class and the wage earner class. So our website is filled with some really good things these days. including a little 90-second video that will show you how drastic the impact will be of Senate Bill 79 with the concentric circles, and showing how, if this passes, seven-story buildings will be popping up, can be popping up in your neighborhood. And when you go to City Hall saying, you got to stop this,
they can't
they'll
do
say,
anything.
Where were you when they were voting on the bill?
Yeah. Yeah, so. Exactly. Highly problematic. And it's not just limited to the big cities, you know, like, San Francisco, LA, San Diego, Sacramento. It's not just the big, it's statewide this could happen. Statewide.
Yeah.
In all the little towns and the big ones, so. Yeah. Big changes there.
And to that point, you know, also inviting people to join Catalyst Call tonight at 5 o'clock if they care to. Our speaker tonight is Dick Spotswood. Mm-hmm. And he twice a week publishes an article in the Marin Independent Journal. So some of your listeners might be familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, he has been one of those strong voices to say state planning using a top-down, you know, all one-size-fits-all model is not good planning for the state. So I'm sure he will have a lot to say about that, as well as what's happening in the publishing industry and media's role in getting information out to people like you guys do with the radio.
Yep, absolutely. And for listeners, if you're going, wait, where is that? It's at catalystsca.org. And if that's confusing, you could just go to susankirsch.com and connect directly with Susan if you need to. But Catalyst for Local Control is there. They're on Facebook as well, so you can find Catalyst for Local Control there. And if you haven't registered before, it's a one-time for the Monday weekly Zoom meetings. You register one time, you get the link, and then you can join in at 5 o'clock. And it's every Monday, and there's always some type of guest speaker or multiple guest speakers talking on au courant topics for everyone there. So Dick's going to be the one today who's going to be talking from the Marin IJ on what it's like from the media's point of view to try to get the word out there and to make sure people know what the issues are and to be a solid journalist on all of that information. So that's the place to register there. So lots and lots and lots going on. And anything else that you wanted to throw in?
I would just elaborate one bit here. For anyone who is aware of a project that's going on in your city or county and you're not connected with a group, one of the advantages of Catalyst and one of the benefits I think that we're trying to offer people is to get connected and to understand that as daunting as these projects seem, like, we still have efficacy, we still have things we can do. And so Catalyst is a group, usually there's 30, 40 people on the call from around the state, from Sacramento down to San Diego. And we do IDs on your nameplates so you have a chance to see who else from your area is on the call, and you can use chat to get in touch with people. So we're really highlighting the opportunities to network and know you're not alone in this battle.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great way to get educated on all of these issues, because housing is a complicated issue. The details are myriad and seemingly endless. So it does get really kind of tricky. So it's a great way to just start building your knowledge base on how all these things work. And Susan's always got great stories and explanation for here's how you reach out to your local, representative, you know, and here's how and when we do this to be the most effective with our time and efforts.
So just to say to your listeners, Mike McGuire and Damon Conley are our assembly and senators who will be voting on the floor for this bill. So even just a short email or a short letter, and we've got samples of that on our website, but to say no on 79 would be great.
Susan Kirsch, everyone, founder and CEO of Catalyst for Local Control. Susan, thank you again for being here.
Thank you, Marcia.
Thanks. See Have a great month. Week and All a productive right. meeting. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. Listeners, we're going to take a quick little break before we come back with Melissa Peters, partner at Nixon P.